TalkRadio.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck it!
Waller Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rocket.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what you're for on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Kane has got two words for you.
Amazing.
In case you weren't aware, the Wyatt family is scheduled to debut tonight on Monday Night Raw. Because that's what they teased at the very beginning of the show. And you know they mean business when they start doing that. Tonight's a big night. They open with a Wyatt family vignette.
Yeah, that was absolutely incredible, and that wasn't the last vignette we got of the Wyatt family tonight. Mm-mm. But that was a wonderful way to set the tone of the show. And it's just further proof that the debut tonight is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Very big deal. But before we get to their debut, we open up Monday Night Raw in the ring. Vicky Guerrero standing tall next to a ladder with Brad Maddox. She talked about how this ladder is, you know, used for success, how you have to climb rung by rung to become successful. She noted that many people associate the ladder with the likes of the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon. Yes, a Razor Ramon reference on this show. And the one and only Triple H. Sucking up a little bit. She climbed up to the top of the ladder. Referees held the ladder so she didn't fall. The fans were wanting her to fall. JBL was screaming, "Don't fall, Vicky. Don't fall, Vicky." She talked about how she did the best job she possibly could to manage a full roster of WWE superstars. We had Jerry Lawler finally get to say, "Well, I can't do that justice, and I know, Lindsay, you can't do it justice, right?" The word,
nope.
The word to use. I think Tim has to help.
Excuse me!
So, Lawler noted that tonight we're going to have the McMahon's family wants a you know, poll on the WWE app, and for the first time ever, Lindsay went, "Where's my phone? I need to get the app."
Oh, no, I have the app on my phone.
Need to find the app, is what I meant to say.
I need to find the app, because it's in one of the little... I have an iPhone, so it's in one of the little folder things that you make of all the useless apps that I don't ever use. Mm-hmm. Because I don't like to have multiple screens on my phone, so everything is on one screen. And I just put them in the little folders. And so it's like I had to remember what folder it was in to find it. Because it was really that awkward moment where it's like, holy crap, where is my phone? I need to vote on this. It is necessary.
And what you had to vote for is, you know, her job performance. What did she pass or fail? That's simple. Pass or fail. So Vicky then started to kiss up to the WWE Universe because they have each other's backs. Vicky says she knows she will have all the crowd support for a spectacular matchup she has booked tonight, which will see John Cena and Mark Henry going face-to-face. It wasn't a match, but anyway. Vicky then said she also booked Money in the Bank All-Star participants in matches. We get Christian versus Kane, Randy Orton versus CM Punk, and Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan. And that's the matchup that will start off the night. But thoughts on the opening segment?
She fails because she didn't book Dean Ambrose.
Well, there you go. So Daniel Bryan came out. And then as we went to break, we had the first RVD flashback from April 2006 when Rob Van Dam won the Money in the Bank at WrestleMania 22.
Yay.
I like
nice
the video.
Go ahead. Sorry. I was going to say, it's a nice way for them to start hyping up RVD, because they did this throughout the night.
Yes, they did. So we have this, and then we have Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan in a pretty good match.
As I sit here and try to swallow my water. Yeah, it was a good match. I mean, it's... They mix well together. They don't mix very fantastic, but it was a decent match. It was definitely something of going, damn, why didn't we get this at Mania?
A bunch of counters towards the end. Sheamus had the cloverleaf locked in. Bryan was able to escape, and with a small package, get the victory over Sheamus. After the match, both men had a stare down, and then Sheamus shook Daniel Bryan's hand, and Daniel Bryan celebrated his victory. Should be noted that I believe it was JBL who said, they won't be shaking hands on Sunday. Good match. Good start.
If nothing else, it showed the aggressiveness of Daniel Bryan, which was nice. And it showed that he could hang with someone like Sheamus. So it just added that credibility to him.
And then this is where things started getting creepy.
Yes.
WWE reporter was sent to find the Wyatt family. And they approached a couple guys who were basically a bunch of backwood type and asked where the Wyatts were. And one of the guys said, told the reporter, just keep going and then we'll find them. This was a nice start.
Yeah, this was... It's like, they sent a WWE reporter, so it's like, okay, how are they going to do this? Because that's been like the sole topic of conversation for us the whole weekend, is how are they going to do the Wyatt debut? How are they going to do it?
And I kind of mentioned to you last night that they would do some sort of promos leading up to it.
Right, and this was a really nice way, because you start to get more of a glimpse into the world of the Wyatts, and you kind of get to see what shapes the characters and what really sort of they're about without having Bray Wyatt walk out there and basically preach their mission statement. You get to see it, and the whole deal that they did tonight, the whole thing has been incredibly cinematic, and tonight was no exception. And it was a really... really nice start to the evening, and it just started to like build, because you start to get little tastes of it, like everybody was tuned in, I think, tonight to see the Wyatt debut, to see how they were going to do it. That and to see Vicky Guerrero get fired. But...
Right.
It's like everybody was a lot, or I should say not everybody, but a lot of people were really excited for the Wyatts tonight, including me. Like, I've been sitting here all day going, is it Raw? Is it time for Raw? When are they going to debut the Wyatts? When is it going to happen? Like, get on with it. Hurry it up. I want to see it. I really want to see it. Like, I've been excited the whole day because I really wanted to see the Wyatt debut, and they didn't let me down. And this was just a really nice start to it because it's like they sent somebody down there, and you know their tagline is, don't send anybody you don't want back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what's going to happen with this? What are they going to do?
We come back from break. AJ is talking with Big E Langston. AJ told him to watch out for the thunderous hooves of Caitlyn, which was funny. Dolph Ziggler walked into the picture. Ziggler asked Big E to walk away, and AJ was wondering, what's wrong? And Dolph, you know, replied that AJ has missed his last two matches, and Dolph said that he can only conclude that things are about AJ now. AJ started cuddling up to Ziggler, noting she was willing to do anything to make sure that Ziggler walks out of Money in the Bank as the World Heavyweight Champion. AJ asked Dolph if he wants to go all the way, and Dolph says, sure he does. And all the way to his third World Heavyweight title win. And they kissed it in the segment. Nice little segment.
Yeah, and it's again, they're kind of sort of teasing the split and building the split, and yeah. It's getting interesting between the two. Dolph doesn't seem as enamored with AJ as he once was.
Mm-hmm. We come back into the arena, and you hear the Shield music. It means they're in action next. Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns going to be in action.
And this was the 5 seconds of Dean Ambrose that I got tonight! That's it! 5 seconds of him! Do you have any idea how disappointed I was? It's like, he had the easiest job in the world tonight. He had to walk out there, bump hands, and that's it! He did nothing else! And it's just like, but Dean, come back! Like, I did the AJ pouty face and everything when he just left. And that's it. That's all I got of him. It's like, but... Oh.
So as we came back from break, we saw the Rob Van Dam versus Eddie Guerrero ladder match from 2002. Nice little match they showed. Highlights they showed. And, you know, RVD won that match. Then we have the match, the Shield taking on Tons of Funk. Not a bad match.
It wasn't a bad match, but it wasn't really one of their best. They were really oddly matched, just because it's like Tons of Funk is so massive, and yeah, you've got Roman, but Seth, honestly, it's not believable that Seth could reasonably take out either Brodus Clay or Tensai. It's just not feasible.
Without doing a big flip over the top rope, which he did to take out one of them, and then Roman hit the spear on Tensai for the victory. I like the finish.
It was a really nice finish, but at the same time, it's just like you're sitting there going, okay, this is interesting. And yeah, I know there aren't that many tag teams for them to face. It's just still, it's like, all right, I'll take it. But what was interesting is they're on the pre-show, which one sucks. And two, you had no Usos tonight.
They were on the app.
Short of voting for Vicky Guerrero, who pays attention to the app?
I read Twitter and they tell me what's going on the app. So some people are paying attention.
Yeah, the only time I've ever used that app was for the first time tonight to vote for Vicky, and that was it.
Right. Oh, so we come back from break, and we get another Wyatt family video. This time, the reporter's looking around. He seems to have spotted the house. And out of nowhere, one of the members shows up.
Technically,
two. One of them was cutting lumber, and then out of nowhere, the other guy pops up in the picture and says, "Follow me."
And I want to comment on this, because when they walked up to the house, there was crap piled up on the porches, it was run down, you looked past the house, and it was the guy in the sheet mask, and he was out there chopping wood next to a roaring fire. And what was, it really kind of had that creep factor. It was like they started their own horror movie. Kind of.
Yeah, I would agree.
And go ahead.
No, I just said I would agree.
And so it's like you drive up to the creepy house, and there's a whole bunch of crap piled up on the porch. Like, the porch is literally full of just random stuff. And it's like you, initially the reporter gets the glimpse of the guy in the sheet mask, and he's doing whatever he's doing. And he doesn't necessarily see the reporter at first. And then he looks up and he sees the reporter. And he drops the axe or whatever he's got. And then Harper walks up and grabs the guy by the shoulder. And the camera turns away. And then when he turns back, the guy is gone.
Yeah.
And then Harper's like, "Come on, come in the house." And it's like, that was just, you're sitting there and you're almost watching it going, "Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't go in the house. You're not going to come back out." And that was a really nice atmosphere to it. It's like the whole, it's like the creepiness and just that, you know, that tingling and chill up your spine just grew throughout these promos. And it wasn't kitschy. It wasn't campy. It wasn't stupid. It seriously felt like they were starting a horror movie. And they were building to the gore part of the horror movie. Where it's just like, you don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be bad.
Mm-hmm. We then come back in the arena. John Cena comes out, calls out Mark Henry. Basically, Mark Henry says he's been hungry for 18 years, which had Cena said, "Why don't you just have a Snickers?"
Great line.
Yeah, great line. And Henry brushed that off, noted that the old Mark Henry might have laughed at that or inflicted some bodily harm, but he's going to be chill on this one. Henry said Cena might think he knows who the world's strongest man is, but he's a new man. He said he's known for Cena for 10 years. He knew Cena before Cena knew, before Cena even did. He said Cena called Cena a puppet, just like, you know, the crowd. Henry continued that the WWE title will validate his career. "If I take that from you without a shadow of a doubt, I will be the first bout Hall of Famer. John, I sold out my own mama to have that. I even sold out my own family." Cena replied that Henry better win on Sunday. He said he has won and lost this title, but always with respect. He said he looks in Mark Henry's eyes and sees a desperate man who leveraged his family and lied to the fans for a title. "You better walk out WWE Champion this Sunday at Money in Bank. If you don't, you have lost the respect of everyone, and you've gained nothing. 17 years gone," he said. Henry said he doesn't care what Cena and these people think. Henry said that some people love you and some people hate you. But Henry noted that our lines are not even. Cena will cross. Cena interrupted by noting the hot crowd, prompting that Henry better not interrupt him again, or else Money in the Bank will start right now. Cena took off his shirt and then basically drew a line in the sand, and he said, "You want to cross the line for free?" Henry asked, "You want me to do that?" Henry said he took a 50% pay cut before, and he's not losing money on this. Henry told him that he'll get him on Sunday. Henry started to leave. Cena was ready to go. Tries to get him up for the AA, but Henry fell on top. And then he laid him out with the world's strongest slam.
This was a really nice segment to build to the match. It was really strong. And what was interesting is that you had Cena not be able to give Henry the AA.
Right.
So you're sitting there going, because that was kind of like what I was thinking about last night as I was listening to WTR and they were kind of previewing the show, was, well, what if Cena can't do his normal moveset with Henry?
Right.
Because Henry is so much larger than Cena. That he, you know, it's like, we all know Cena is strong as all get out, but he's maybe not as strong as he used to be. He may be, you know, faded a little bit or a little bit diminished.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, what happens if Cena can't do what he used to be able to do and give the AA to someone like Mark Henry? Of course he will, but...
It was a nice little tease to show that how strong Mark Henry is and that Cena might not be able to get him up and, you know, means he might have to do something else to beat Mark Henry Sunday.
Right.
Nice segment. We go backstage, Randy Orton is watching what's going on, and Josh Matthews comes in and says, Orton says he doesn't think Punk is the best in the world, and he aims to win the Money in the Bank this Sunday. He then vowed to cash in the money briefcase on Cena if Cena is able to survive Henry on Sunday. So if Orton wins, we may get a new WWE champion if it isn't Mark Henry.
Mmm.
Or even if it is. Hmm. We shall see. We then have Miz on commentary as we come back. Chris Jericho heads to the ring. We then get Curtis Axel and Paul Heyman cut a promo. Heyman was selling the punch from Friday with the black eye and the sunglasses.
Great makeup job on Heyman. Mm-hmm. Fantastic makeup job.
Axel spoke about how Jericho was wearing a jacket with Christmas lights on it. Axel sounded like he was about to break into song, but noted in the glow of the IC title belt indicates that he has arrived. Axel noted that he will not let Miz or Jericho stand in the way of perfection.
Very nice promo, and I never realized this before, but Curtis Axel has a really nice voice.
Because they're finally letting him speak.
Probably.
So we get Chris Jericho, Curtis Axel in a non-title match. Pretty good match between the two. I'm surprised Jericho kicked out of the perfect plex. It was a little surprising. Miz and Axel got into it a little bit. You had Paul Heyman screaming for Axel to get back into the ring because you're going to get counted out. He gets back in the ring and then he gets nailed with a code breaker and actually takes his first loss since debuting as Curtis Axel.
Could they be building to an Axel Jericho feud? Hmm.
Only if Jericho was staying around. That's pretty much it. Anyway, we get another vignette. September 2003, RVD Christian. Another nice tease for Rob Van Dam. And then, in probably what was the absolute funniest moment of the night, we have most of the Money in the Bank world title contenders, well, talking.
Yes.
Please welcome my guests at this time, Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes, Team Rhodes Scholars. Gentlemen, are you at all concerned that by both competing in the World Heavyweight Championship contract Money in the Bank ladder match, that it will, well, affect your friendship?
You're becoming quite the journalist, aren't you? Absolutely not. If for some reason I don't win the World Heavyweight title contract, then I would like nothing more than my tag team partner and best friend to win it. And I'm sure he feels the same way. Cody?
Well,
I just told you what he thought, didn't I?
Well, Pardon the interruption. I hate to break up this little love fest, but I couldn't help but overhear you talking about Money in the Bank. Let me tell you something. If Americans don't take charge of this country soon, our money is going to be worthless. And it doesn't take an intellectual guru to know that. But you, Cody Rhodes, you should know that, especially you. Being the son of an American dream, you should know the nightmare that this country goes through every single day. At Money in the Bank, we're going to own it. You know how we're going to own it? Two real Americans are in it, and we're going
to... Ladies, I think you'll find the only person winning this Sunday is me.
Oh, whoa, whoa, wait just a second. I didn't understand a word you said. Are you speaking English or what language are you?
It's Queen's English.
I don't think that was a question. No, no, are you?
What are you?
Don't say it.
Fuck.
Don't.
Fuck.
Don't say it.
Fun.
Oh, man.
Well, I guess that's all that.
Oh, man.
The thud when he hit the floor. Oh,
I'm sorry. I lost my shit when Cody went, don't. Like, yes! Thank you!
Fandang.
Boom. Yeah, this was a really well done segment, although somebody needs to tell Subculture our money is already worthless. Just pointing that out. Go talk to Kane, Zeb! Go talk to Kane!
That was great. And then we call...
Although it could have used, you know, Dean.
Well, you don't know where Dean is, so why would he be with other random people?
Somebody needs to go find him! He could be wandering around backstage. Odder things have happened.
Well, yeah, especially tonight. We'll get into that a little bit. But we then have another Wyatt family promo.
Don't stray.
Obey, 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 obey,
obey, obey, obey, obey. I told you not to stray. Go.
There you are.
Come on in. I've been waiting for you.
Obey, obey, obey.
And Matt Goldberg really wants to know who that was in the room, and the only thing I can figure is it's a future Wyatt family follower.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, it's just, it gets creepier and creepier and creepier, and it's, again, you start to get that glimpse into the world of the Wyatts, and one of the things that these promos did really beautifully is it illustrated that these people are not okay. They are not right. They are really all kinds of wrong, and they're dangerous. And they started to show that more, is how dangerous they actually are.
Right.
And that was really well done on their part. And I loved, again, just how cinematic this all was, how it felt like a horror movie. I know I'm going to sound like a broken record. I love the hell out of these promos, if you can't tell. And just that this, to me, felt like the perfect way to introduce the Wyatts. Because you're getting that glimpse into the world. You're seeing what the characters are about without having that long diatribe and monologue and everything. And it was just like, yeah, this, I like how they're doing this. So
we'll get more into them in a few minutes. We then have Alberto Del Rio versus Sin Cara. The highlight, well, was a little bit of Dolph Ziggler.
No. A coward who tried to end my career. And in 6 days, has absolutely no chance of walking out as the world heavyweight champion. At Money in the Bank, ladies and gentlemen, please allow me to introduce you to the loser of the match, Alberto
Del Rio. Oh, and Del Rio's headed up.
You gotta know that was gonna happen.
And now the brawl outside the ring.
They start to brawl at ringside.
I heard Ziggler. I heard him so much.
That was a nice job of mocking Ricardo.
Which, by the way, as far as Alberto's entrance goes, I miss Ricardo so much. Like, he just walked out, and there was nothing to it.
There's no intro, nothing.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, this is a fail.
Which now leads us to the Vicky Guerrero job evaluation.
Oh my god.
We'll comment throughout this little segment because we have audio now because we just put it up. So we'll comment as this goes.
But I would like to humbly state for the record that I took pride in always producing high quality and priceless entertainment. I mean, if I can remind you of the moment that I exposed and replaced the mentally unstable AJ Lee. And there have been great superstars that have been in return under my administration, like Rob Van Dam and The Rock.
Alright, first, Rob Van Dam hasn't returned yet. The Rock.
She's counting it as a win.
The Rock was already back. And, well.
I mean, some say that I even inspired The Undertaker to return to WrestleMania.
Summer Undertaker LOL'd.
Just thinking that he thought of LOL makes me laugh out loud.
He texted it.
To CM Punk.
To CM Punk, yes.
Wait, did Vicky just say that she inspired The Undertaker's return to WrestleMania? I mean, Vicky, it's amazing that you're taking credit for these unbelievable returns that you had nothing to do with, but yet you're...
By the way, what about Christian? Wasn't that her big, shocking return?
He's back now, so he doesn't count.
But
and
her,
by the way,
it was
thank
her
you,
idea.
Steph, for pointing it out.
Yeah, thank you for Steph for pointing it out, but it was her idea, supposedly. Anyway.
You're not even acknowledging the return of the man that you personally signed. The man who took out not only my father, but my husband, Brock Lesnar.
Oh, it's Brock Lesnar.
Yes, Stephanie, I did sign Brock Lesnar, but Paul Heyman
Vicky,
was...
Being supervising general manager of Raw, you have to make tough decisions. You have to have vision, but you also have to take responsibility for your actions. So let me ask you, Vicky, do you think bringing back Brock Lesnar was a good idea?
Stephanie, I believe in the things that your dad taught me, and that was to do the right things for business. I mean, I did sign Brock Lesnar, but I had no idea that he was going to attack your dad and Triple H. And, gentlemen, I am so sorry. I apologize. I am so sorry.
Ziggy, you have no reason to apologize other than what Brock did to me personally. I think bringing Brock Lesnar back was a stroke of genius. And quite frankly, as far as your qualifications are concerned, I believe that, just like everyone else in this arena believes, just like everyone all over the world believes, we all believe that you are highly entertaining.
Can I
just say something here for a second?
And this is where Hunter started the awesome.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will be the first to admit that Vicky can... occasionally be unintentionally entertaining. But let's face facts, she's terrible at her job.
I like that line. She's just terrible at her job.
Hunter was on so on point tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So on tonight.
Let's see, for example, a couple of weeks ago, you came out here and you were supposed to promote the WWE's new video game. And you came to the ring, and first of all, you screwed up the whole thing, Second of all, you couldn't hear a damn thing you said because the WWE Universe was booing you out of the building. And not in a good way, Vicky. They weren't booing you in a good way. You see, this happens every week, and it is bad for business. Now, Vince, I know you think that that is entertaining, but if just for a second we could put aside what you think is entertaining, because there's a reason why the Golden Girls aren't on TV anymore.
Nice dig.
Yeah, really nice dig. That was fantastic.
Let's talk to the WWE Universe. The WWE Universe wants and deserves better than Vicky Guerrero.
But I believe that you have qualifications that no one else does. I'd like to congratulate you, Vicky, on your hard work and your dedication, your passion, things that have made you who you are. You've broken through that glass ceiling of male-dominated corporate structure, Vicky. Quite frankly, I admire you. Unlike some other short-sighted individuals in this ring, I believe, Vicky Guerrero, that you should be named permanent general manager.
I don't want to argue about this because, listen, at the end of the day, yeah, I'm the COO, you're the chairman, which basically means that no matter what we say...
By the way, the line they cut out, Hunter said, to speak for the short-sighted side of the table.
Yes,
which was a nice comeback.
Amazing. Mm-hmm.
So, let Hunter continue.
You're going to do whatever the hell you want to do anyway, right? Which is pretty much the whole point of this, isn't it? To put some spineless puppet in a position of power that just basically sits here every week, strokes your ego, kisses your ass, and does whatever you say she should do. Now, I don't want to believe that's the case. And if it's not the case, then what I would propose is, since Stephanie called this meeting, why don't we let her decide Vicky's fate?
Well, it seems as though this job evaluation has escalated a lot further than any of us imagined.
Oh, they cut out the good part. We're both Vince and Hunter, basically, you know, daddy's little girl, my wife, dealing with me at home, that sort of thing.
That was a fantastic line. Mm-hmm. And her face, like, he's sitting here, he's like, you know, well, she's the, you know, my wife and the mother of my children, and the woman who's going to have to put up with me after this is over. And Stephanie's face was priceless. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's where this picks up.
Imagined. And I'm not going to let anyone or anything drive a wedge between me and my family. Therefore, we're going to let the exclusive WWE app vote decide.
Oh, no.
Did Vicky Guerrero pass or did she fail?
Record-setting votes tonight on the WWE app.
Can we get a recount?
That's 75-25.
Can we pause it here for a second? Because I want to know, like, I would love to know if they told them, just if they told them, you know, Vicky failed, and that's how they were basing the whole thing. Because they probably had two scenarios for this. But I'm kind of wondering if they at least told Hunter the margin.
Why?
Because after they revealed the vote, Hunter lost it. Like, legit lost it and was laughing his ass off. And he's like standing there trying to hide it the whole time. But he lost it. Yeah, so I'm kind of wondering if like they told them, yes, she failed, so we're going with option A. Mm-hmm. And but they didn't tell them by what margin it happened.
Possibly.
Because he did. I'm sorry. He broke character. He legit started laughing his ass off.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, damn.
And we continue.
Vicky the Universe.
And there he is. Now try to cover his...
Yeah.
There we go.
Has spoken. You failed. Stephanie! If there is one thing that I have learned from your death, it's that you can't trust these people making decisions for the business! And I am not a spineless puppet! They bought me because they love me and that comes with respect! And I am not going to have some popularity content like Teddy Long and Booker T in the SmackDown! This is not right! This is not right!
That's a unique voice.
Vicky, I've got two words for you. And the immortal words of my father. You're fired.
Wow. The universe is spoken.
We'll continue this in a second. I like how she used both of their signature catchphrases. Well done. Well done, Steph. Well done.
Well played.
At this point, Vicky's about to snap.
Oh, she's...
She falls onto the ground. She goes down onto the ground. She's just sitting there. Just soaking it all in. As the crowd, you know, says goodbye to her, as they, like, as the wrestling crowd could. So this begs a question. Well, Vicky's gone. That means we kind of, sort of need a new general manager of Monday Night Raw.
We really kind of do, and I wonder who that's going to be. Are we going to get the announcement immediately?
I wonder, because Vince now, well, has a microphone.
Are you people happy? What's the matter with you? Come on. You've broken Vicky Guerrero's heart.
And everybody cheers.
Vicky didn't fail. You know who failed? Each and every one of you just failed. You threw away what could have been the most entertaining general manager of Raw of all time. You threw it away. You failed.
Actually, no, Triple H was.
We need a new general manager of Monday Night Raw. And believe me, you people deserve this.
I'm sitting here going, it's going to be
Brad Maddox.
But no, it's Brad.
What? Who?
And this is where we all really? Went, Mace!
And this is the point, yes. This is where we found out Mace is the mole. Because last night on WTRS and I, go check out the archive, he predicted that Brad Maddox would be the one put in charge. So Mace is the mole. So yeah, that was a fantastic segment.
This went a lot better than I thought it was going to go. And the fact that they actually fired somebody.
Even better.
Even better, but the fact that you had Vicky literally throw a tantrum. A literal tantrum. In the middle of the ring, in front of Vince and Steph and Hunter, was amazing. I'm sitting here and I'm watching her do this, and it's like, She's doing what every person who has ever gotten fired has wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just throw a massive tantrum of crying and screaming and telling off her boss and basically ruining any chance she ever has of getting rehired ever right there.
Mm-hmm.
It was really well done. I have to applaud them for this segment. It wasn't too overproduced. It wasn't too underproduced. What was interesting, though, was you had kind of... I actually had the roles for Vince and Hunter switched, where I thought Hunter would back Vicky and Vince would want to get rid of her, but they switched the roles, so it's kind of interesting.
Right.
But...
Great job. Great job tonight, and... Vicky's gone,
which means she goes back to managing, and that's going to come later. That's a whole new kind of no.
Mm-hmm, but we'll get to that in a second. But we go backstage after the break, and well, this happened.
I love my job.
I know. I'm going to make it right somehow, Vicky. I'll make it right, you know? And I know you're...
Vicky, I am so sorry about what happened. Mr. McMahon, thank you again. This is a decision that you're not going to regret. I can promise you that. We're all going to miss Vicky, of course. But I'm very happy to be the new GM of Raw. Right, Vicky? I'm going to pick up where you left off.
How long are you going to hold your hand out like that? Like I said, I gave them what they deserved.
Well, of course, and what Mr. McMahon wants, Mr. McMahon gets.
And...
Yeah! Yeah!
Oh. She snaps and beats the crap out of him. That was fantastic.
They did a really nice job playing this part up. Are you going to play the rest of it? Or
That was it, wasn't it?
That was pretty much it, except for Vince walking off saying that Vicky ruined his jacket.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was like another 30 seconds of screaming. I had enough of the screaming.
Okay. This, like, really played it up really nicely, where you have Vince, you know, kind of condescendingly and half-assed comforting Vicky.
Right.
And he kind of really comes across as just this really cold jerk. Or, like I said, he's condescending. You can tell that he didn't get his way, so he's not happy. So when he's saying, well, I'm going to make this right, he's going to make it right for him. He's not going to make it right for her. You know that. It's Vince.
Right.
So it's basically, Vicky is just the crutch that he's going to use to get his way. Or she's the reason that he's going to use to ultimately get what he wants in the end. That, you know, she's a pawn in the game. She doesn't matter. But it's like Vince just came off as this really uncaring, cold, condescending jerk, which was amazing. And Vicky snapping. Holy crap, Vicky snapping.
We then get ready for more action. It is Kane going up against, apparently, Michael McGillicuddy. As apparently somebody in the truck screwed up.
His cousin, Christian McGillicuddy.
Christian McGillicuddy, his cousin, yes. As you can see on your players right now, yeah. They kind of fucked it up a little bit. So, yeah, it said Michael McGillicuddy. Good job, WWE Production. Good job. You are awesome. Anyway, Kane beat Christian. Surprising?
Not really.
So,
we'll
get into that.
And nothing happened after this, right?
No, because I was about to, you know, as this was going on, I was like, I looked at the clock, okay, I was 2 seconds away from typing to you. Well, it looks like something's coming up next. And then, well, all of a sudden...
Oh, no.
I have no followers. I have only brothers and sisters, all in the name of cause. People are sheep. You understand me? They can't lead themselves. They need to be led. People buy and sell fear. They worship war. They crave war. And I'm not afraid of their wars. I created war. And I think it's time for the masses to wake up. Wake up. Wake up! Wake up and look at this lie they're living in, man! The world is deteriorating between their toes, and they do nothing about it. They only stand there, they whisper and wonder, but they never do anything about it. But I've seen it all in my dreams and in my thoughts, and above everything else, I understand this is not the beginning. It's the end.
Lights the match. We have now light.
We're here.
And the light goes out. And then we got one of the coolest entrances in a long time.
This was so well done. Like, I got goosebumps.
You couldn't turn away.
You really couldn't. I mean, it's just, if you... For those of you that didn't see it, the arena is completely pitch black, and you just have Bray Wyatt with a lantern walking to the ring with the two dudes behind him, and the only light in the entire arena that you see as they're walking out is the lantern just lighting their faces so creepily.
And the only other light you get is people
what was
taking
neat
pictures, flashbulbs going off. That's all you saw.
Right. That's all you saw. And, of course, the lights that they can't turn off, which is like the ramp lights. But anyway, the little side runner lights. But anyway, yeah, the only light you get is from that lantern and flashbulbs. And as they're walking out, you have no sense of where they are in the arena.
Nope.
No sense. There's no Tron. The set is completely black, so you have no idea. And then all of a sudden they stop. And Bray Wyatt sits down in the dark and blows out the lantern. And it just goes pitch black. And when they cut back, you've got the two dudes in the ring beating the crap out of Kane as Wyatt is sitting in the rocker watching it happen.
Mm-hmm.
This was so phenomenally well done.
Both men attack Kane. They beat the crap out of him. They use the steel steps and nail him right in the face. Fantastic debut.
Oh, this was so well done. This was brilliant. Whoever did it, whoever came up with it.
Bravo.
Well done. It's like I said, I got goosebumps from it.
I would agree. And just for a fact. Now, the only issue I have with this.
Okay.
It's the fans.
Yeah, they were chanting Husky Harris at him, but that's just going to happen. There's nothing you can do.
No, but wrestling fan, this is a call out to every wrestling fan out there. Stop calling him Husky Harris. Thank you.
Yes. And I'm with Kane Kittens, and I actually said this to Rock last night, is that he has enveloped the character, and he is Bray Wyatt. Like, you can even hear it in the way he talks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he said them toes, not their toes, them toes, I was like, thumbs up, well done. Like, he's got the character that developed that he's changing the way that he speaks to make the character sound legit.
Mm-hmm. You had Bray kneel by Kane, and then what was a nice touch as they flashed a sheep across the screen as they went to break?
Yeah.
That was a nice touch. This was a fantastic debut. You couldn't have scripted that any better.
You really couldn't, and it was like, what are they going to do? Are they going to put him in the match? Are they going to do vignettes? And this was just absolutely perfect, because we figured it's like, okay, they're going to come out and they're going to beat somebody down, and we actually did at one point throw out Kane.
Right.
And it's like, no, they're not going to do that. No, he's too high up the ladder. They're going to have them do jobbers.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, and it's like they immediately had them walk out there and beat up Kane, which could lead to some
sort of I can't put my finger on it, but
yeah, it could lead to some interesting circumstances, because I'm kind of curious now. It's like they almost took Kane's head off with the steel steps. So where does that leave Kane for Money in the Bank?
Because they did stretcher Kane out during the break. Apparently.
They did.
So, we'll get into this maybe more Thursday if we have time. But, yeah. Could we be seeing in the future?
I guess we'll have to see.
Vicky Guerrero's walking backstage. And who does she walk around? She has a box full of her stuff. And she walks into... Of all people, Ryback. And you go...
And it's face Ryback, because he doesn't have the beanie.
He doesn't have the beanie, he has his Stone Cold vest. And, well, he hugged Vicky Guerrero and said, "You deserve better. It's gonna be okay." No.
And we all see where this is going. We all know where this is going, and I know... For weeks, for months, I have been preaching Ryback needs a damn manager. But no. This is not what I meant. Please, God, no.
Anyway, back to the ring. AJ and Alicia Fox took on Caitlyn and Layla. Nothing really happened except for AJ got speared on the outside and she played dead.
Yeah, I have to look. I love the way AJ sells Caitlyn's spear. Mm-hmm. Where she just ragdolls over. But yeah. What was really nice is, like, you had AJ and Caitlyn mix it up a couple times, where Caitlyn went after AJ and legit went after, and you actually had to have Layla and Alicia Fox pull them apart twice.
Which is good.
Which adds really nice intensity to it. It's like, yeah, they kind of want to kill each other. At least Caitlyn wants to kill AJ.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, you have Biggie carry her out like a sack of potatoes at the end, which was hilarious.
We interview with CM Punk. Josh noted that Randy Orton doesn't think Punk is the best in the world, which Punk said Orton is entitled to think, but Orton has to face facts. Punk said he was holding the WWE title longer than anyone in the modern era, makes him the best in the world, and when he grabs the Money in the Bank briefcase this Sunday, he will once again prove that he is the best in the world. Solid, effective. Simple. We then get the last vignette for Rob Van Dam, June 2006, ECW One Night Stand, where he wins the WWE Championship and the ECW Championship from John Cena. Main event time, Randy Orton, CM Punk. Pretty good match.
Well, let's face it, if anybody can pull a good match out of Randy, it's Punk.
Mm-hmm. Nice false finishes, and in a surprise, Punk wins clean with the GTS. So Punk wins clean over Randy Orton, and well, that doesn't sit well with somebody, because somebody storms to the ring. That would be Daniel Bryan, and he just destroys CM Punk, throws him shoulder first in the post, gets a ladder, lays out Randy Orton, sets the ladder up, climbs to the top, pulls down the briefcase, and the question was asked, is Daniel Bryan going to win this Sunday? Will he be Mr. Money in the Bank?
Hmm.
Nice, solid close to the show. Good main event match. Good finish, and then Jesus, Daniel Bryan possibly winning. What do you think?
I have to agree. They did a really nice job of making everybody in at least the all-star match, with the exception of Kane, poor Kane, look really strong tonight. And even Kane looked strong up until the Wyatts absolutely destroyed him.
They gave Kane the win, so it evens out.
It evens out. And it's like the Wyatts were going to have to take out somebody. But they did a really nice job of pushing the all-star match tonight. They did a decent job of pushing the other match. And those were really the focuses of the Money in the Bank. The Divas match got pushed. And the only one that really didn't get pushed was the tag title match. And that's just because it's a pre-show and they don't care. But at least it got a little something.
They hyped it during the their match. They gave a match and they hyped it. Everything got focused a little bit.
Everything got focused, but you could tell that the two main focuses tonight were Vicky Guerrero and the Wyatts, and that was their primary focus.
Mm-hmm. And as it should have been. And they also pushed the pay-per-view, and that's what you wanted.
So all in all, it was a really nice show. It was really well done. Bravo to WWE for it. I'm curious to see how the Wyatts do in the numbers.
They put them in an interesting spot. 10:30 slot, which doesn't usually do well, and you weren't expecting it, so we'll see.
Well, because I was having a conversation with Jed Schaefer on Twitter or on Facebook, and he was talking about that he didn't really care for the videos, and he thought that that was all we were going to get tonight at the Wyatts. And it's like, well, you know, you never know. The show's not over yet, and you're sitting there and you're looking at the time, and you would think that for the Wyatt debut that they would have done it within probably the second hour, or at least the top of the third. Definitely before the job evaluation for Vicky. And they didn't. And they saved it almost for the end.
Mm-hmm. They built it all night right towards the end, yeah.
And I was actually sitting there at one point thinking, are they going to close the show with the Wyatt debut?
Mm-hmm. It got to that point at one point, thinking that.
Yeah, it's like, are they really going to actually close the show with it?
I didn't think it would close it, but I thought it was going to be right before, and, well, it was right before. Sort of.
Pretty much, yeah. It's like they... I kind of feel bad for the Ryback hugging segment, because it's like it came right after the Wyatts, and nobody cared.
Yeah,
like,
no
just
care.
Nobody cared, because we finally got what we wanted, and it's like, oh, I can relax now. Oh, look, it's Ryback and Vicky. Who cares?
Exactly. But... on that note, I think that does it for us tonight. Raw was a good show. Nice go home. To Money in the Bank this Sunday, which will be covered on Wrestle Talk Radio. And we're doing pick 'em, so get your picks into media@wildtalkradio.com for the challenge. But tomorrow night, mid-year reviews, whatever that means, on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik, 9 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday night, Cheap Heat Radio with Scott Barry and Matthew Forsina at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Lindsay, Thursday, The Rack.
Yes, Thursday, The Rack. Tune in, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com. We're going to be talking all about Impact, Money in the Bank, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So tune in and listen. And while we may have an interview, we may not. We'll just have to see. And by the way, Matt, I think it was the ginger-bearded guy that was in the other room. Because the promo was on the delayed Raw show, so yeah. I think it was... what's the other guy's name?
Harper and Rowan?
Rowan. It was Rowan, I believe, that was in the room going, obey, 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 obey. So, interesting. But yes, Thursday, The Rack, 11 p.m., and we will probably be talking more about the Wyatts, so tune in and listen.
Go to RackRadioShow.com. Saturday night, around 10 p.m. Eastern, we'll be playing Cards Against Humanity. And then... midnight-ish at CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. If you've heard commercials before, Rob Parks goes to Chicago, he runs across highways. Will he do it again? He's returning to the scene of crime, so you never, never know. Sunday, Wrestle Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern. Mace, Tim, Omega, and probably me and Lindsay will break down Money in the Bank. We'll be back next Monday night for another edition of Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Again, get your picks in for Money in the Bank Media at WildTalkRadio.com, or send them on the social media. Go to WTRProductions.net, PWMania.com, and MemLanePromo.com, Lindsay.
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LANSWARD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. Go to CassidyRiley.net for all your Cassidy Riley needs. And, of course, check out my Behance profile, behance.net/LinsWard. I've got a couple new pieces up on there. And, yeah, that's it.
So, for Lindsay Ward, I'm Sarah. We'll see you next Monday night for the Raw Post Show. See you Thursday for the Rack. And join us all week long, everyone here on the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com. So, good night.
WildTalkRadio.com.